I'd like to draw your attention before we begin our time of testimonies to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, I'm not going to preach a message, more of a call to praise tonight. In one of the most outstanding passages of Scripture that looks to the future of the nation of Israel and a nation who has, to this point in history, never sung this particular psalm. They will one day when they have a new heart that God has promised that He will give to them. He's going to take away their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, we're told in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36. And it will be a very special time in which she will direct all of her praise and thanksgiving to the Lamb who is worthy to receive glory and power and wisdom and honor. I want us to read this psalm, and then I want to focus on verse 3 for just a few moments tonight before we open the time of testimony from each of you here tonight. Verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. One theologian has said that chapter 12 of Isaiah is the end of the book of Emmanuel. The book beginning in chapter 7, which gives the promise of the coming of Emmanuel. In chapter 9, the promise again, the sign that would be given of the coming of Emmanuel, who shall save His people from their sins. And then throughout those chapters leading up to chapter 12, the emphasis is upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of His people. And chapter 12 ends on this note, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. In other words, the Messiah, the Holy One, the promised one that would come. And as I was reading this psalm back a few days ago, I thought about verse 3, and I was taken back to my childhood. When we were little, we used to make kind of an annual journey over to Darlington, Florida. Darlington, Florida was where my grandmother's family was located, and we would go and we would see our great aunt and uncle. And it was a house way out in the middle of nowhere. And we were intrigued by this place because out in their front yard was an old-fashioned dug well that had the typical wall with the little house on the top, and it had the old crank handle and the rope. And we would try to peek over the edge to see down into the water. We would holler down in there and hear the echo. And we would crank the handle and bring the bucket up to the top, and then we'd let it go and it'd go back down into the well. And I thought about that in context of chapter 12 and verse 3. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And typically in the Old Testament, salvation is always used in a very broad context. It always includes with it the element of deliverance, being delivered not only from sin, but also delivered from our sinful bodies, given new bodies, being delivered in Israel's case from her enemies, being established in her promised land. That was all in the context of salvation. And the picture that is given to us is someone who with joy comes to a well. Now, why would you come to a well? Well, in the old days, you came to drop that bucket down so you could get some cold water to drink. That well was probably, I don't know, how many feet down do you suppose it was? Probably 25, 30 feet. I don't know how deep it was or where the water table was. But when you let that bucket down and it dropped down into the water, and you crank that handle and the bucket back up to the top, and you took the old-fashioned ladles. Everybody know the ladles? My grandmother always had a ladle on a nail right beside her faucet. And that was her drinking cup. We all knew that. And my mom had one for a long time that hung there. You'd take it and fill it with water, and you would drink it. Well, you'd dip it down in that cold well water and take a good drink, and it was refreshing. And this is the mention here in relationship to Jehovah and His deliverance of Israel and the context of giving praise and thanksgiving. It says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. When we come together to give thanks, when Israel will come forth in the latter days, and she gives praise unto her Lord, she will do so with joy as one who comes to a well and draws water. But I want you to think of it even deeper than that. I want you to think about who owns the water. I want you to think about who dug the well. I want you to think about who owns the rope. I want you to think about who owns the bucket. Because they all are pictures of Jesus Christ, the living water, the one who provides or procured that living water, the one that gives you access to that living water, that pictured in the rope and the bucket there. How can I access this living water? Well, we access it through Jesus Christ. We connect to the living water through the rope and the bucket of Jesus Christ. But who has to go to the well? And who has to draw in order to obtain? It says here, therefore with joy shall ye, or you, draw. We've got to go to the well. We have got to go with joy in our hearts. And when we go with joy and we draw forth from the well, then we have something to share with others. We have living water. You know, I think it's a real shame when Christians come up dry on a testimony night. Isn't that kind of a sad thing to come up dry? To drop the bucket and you come up empty because you haven't been drawing over a period of time. You haven't been accessing the living water in Christ, and your life hasn't been refreshed, and you come, as pictured also in the book of Isaiah, where you're dry and thirsty. We need to come with our souls wetted by the living water so that we can refresh others because we've been drinking at the fountain. That old song says, drinking at the fountain that shall never run dry. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the very center verse of this passage right here. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Some people have a problem. Well, that means that there's many ways to be saved. That's not what it's saying. You know, Roger, Chris, and I all have wells. But they all go down to the same what? Reservoir. All right? Now, his well's about maybe 1,000 feet away. I don't know how far it is. And Roger's is probably 1,500 feet away. But if you went underground, all right, we all went underground, and we looked, you'd see PVC pipes 1,500 feet in the same reservoir. We're getting the same water, but we are getting it from different locations. What a picture here that no matter where we go in this world, whether it's in outer space or whether it's on the other side of the world when I was in India or when Brandon was over in England, all right, or when and others have traveled to other places, when you went to Norway, were you able to drink at the fountain in Norway? Were you able to drink at the fountain in England? Amen. I was able to drink at the fountain in India. Now, I was in a different location with people that were speaking totally different languages and dialects. I couldn't understand a word they were saying. But they were worshiping and praising God. And we all drank from the same reservoir, just in a different place. This is the picture here. The Israelites are scattered all over the world tonight. But those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb are in the right reservoir. They are drinking at the fountain. And so let me encourage you tonight. that in order to have a testimony, as these people will have someday, they've got to first do what? They've got to go to the well. They've got to lower the bucket, and they have got to access through Christ the living water. And they've got to drink from that. And then they will with joy rejoice, as it has in these latter verses, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord! Call upon His name, declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. How could they say these things? Because they had been drinking at the fountain. There is no excuse, child of God. Christian, there is no excuse to be dry, is there? We've got to access the fountain. My heart was challenged on Sunday night by those that have been drinking at the fountain. And they were able to share some of the overflow with us. You know, the psalmist talks about the cup that overflows. Well, you got to put your cup into the fountain in order for it to overflow.